What's up, everybody? It is Joshua. I am back with another installment of the Final X Legends podcast. This is not only a billion-dollar writer we got right here. This is also an amazing comic book artist. Guys, we finally got one. We got one in here. This is Steven. How you doing today, brother?
I am very good, my friend. I'm very good. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just peachy. Super excited to hear about your amazing, you know, comic books. You write certain... You do both the writing and the illustrations, or do you do one of the other?
Yeah, I do everything. The one-man band, the writing, illustrating, the book design, the front covers, the marketing, everything. It's all done just by me, all on my own.
Perfect. You know, I like that because, you know, a lot of our listeners here, you know, they want to connect with somebody that can help them do some artwork. You know, I myself actually am going to stay in touch with you after this because I have myself a graphic novel and comic book that I'm working on, and I'm always down for working with and collaborating with other artists and also making sure they're well paid. That's something about me that I like to make sure that artists are paid for their works. So can you tell us about, you know, the main project that you have going on that you would like to share with us?
The project I'm sharing with you today is something that I've been working on. Well, I say working on. It's a completed project that is finished. It's a crime noir action saga called Rain. It's three seasons in total. I think I first started this comic book when I was about 18 years old. So that was actually like 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me all that time to get it finished now. But it's an awful lot of work doing the writing, the scripts, the storage treatments, the layouts, the pencils, the inks, the shading, the lettering, pretty much every single thing that a team would do, I've done all on my own. So, which was great. I loved every minute of it, but it's quite a big task to get done as a single one-man operation.
And yes.
My art studio began as a fully converted studio in a loft and ended up becoming just basically wherever I had space to draw, which was sometimes on the couch with the dog sitting next to me. Because a lot changes in 18 years, and you just find whatever space you can and whatever time you can. Well, it's very much a labor of love. I think, like many artists, I had dreams of being a professional when I was younger, but I also had bigger dreams for actually just writing and creating a series of my own that was, just, for me, which could match up to all the comic books that inspired me over the years.
Yeah.
Batman to Prince of the Crow, anything like that. Having something that was my own, so I could almost cross it off the bucket list and say I've done that. I've made a series from top to bottom, and it's mine. It's my baby, and it's something that I'm very, very proud of. It was hard work getting it done at times, and it wasn't always fun. But I think as artists and writers, we like to make things difficult for ourselves.
Yeah,
putting these projects together.
We normally do. We definitely do make some things harder on ourselves. And sometimes, you know,
there are
like a lot of outside extenuating of circumstances, you know, a lot of different factors, you know, life, breakups, money, job, stresses, you know, and it takes a very seasoned individual in themselves to be able to separate and differentiate, you know, the factors and be able to balance them out, to be able to, you know, be self-aware and be able to carry on with their writing. It does take a level of skill, talent, and self-awareness, but it is very possible to do.
I think for me, it was never an option that I was never going to finish it. It was that sole motivation. I think a lot of writers and artists, they can get swept up in getting it finished and getting it out there. But for me, the process of actually creating the whole book from start to finish was just amazing. The whole process itself
is so fun.
That's more exciting in some ways than I was actually kind of sad when it had finished and thinking, what am I going to do with myself now? I've spent so many years working on this one body of work, and it was a bittersweet to finish it in many ways because so much time had been invested in it and the journey was over. And, you know, what a journey it was. I learned so much as a writer and as an artist. I had to get so many things wrong before I could get them right in terms of character development and story and all that sorts of stuff. And it was quite, you know, I like to think of it as an epic, but the production of it felt epic to me many, many times, many long hours. But there was never a moment when I didn't enjoy it. It was just...
Oh, yeah. It was a roller coaster. I'm sorry, yeah, I had cut you off. I said it was an amazing rollercoaster. Yeah, we both waited there for a second, but no, I definitely know exactly what you mean though. Like I'm sorry I cut you off. I just got excited for a second there because, you know, it's a certain level of like, it's a certain connection I feel with you right now. Like, you know, a lot of people write and a lot of people have a message they want to convey. A lot of people do it because they love it, they live it, they breathe it, they smoke it, they drink it, they party with it, they sleep with it. I get it.
That's definitely true. Yeah. I think,
but some, like, but
what do you mean?
Huh?
The whole goal of getting, of putting Rain together was, I just wanted to make a book that I wanted to read. It was kind of as simple as that. It's in a genre that I enjoy. I just wanted to create characters that I wanted to read about. I can look back at it now and think, oh, I should have done this, and this, because it was interesting that I first wrote the story when I was so much younger, and now I'm an older man who's a bit more mature. It's amazing. I look at some of the choices I made, think, wow, I probably would have made some different story choices now and character choices, but I say they're not regrets, but it was interesting in that respect to look at it as a body of work that evolved so much over time. I changed a lot through the production of it as well. But I just wanted to create something that I would read at the end of the day. And I would say that Rain is one of my favorite comics. And even though I've made it, I don't know, that the risk is sounding really arrogant, I suppose, but no, I just wanted to make something that I would read. And it's a genre piece. Everyone's got their own preferences, but I love it just as much as I love some of my other favorite comics. It sits on my shelf proudly next to all the other ones that I've read. And I work really hard to just make it something, because I'm a fan as well, and I very much have created a book for me, which I would walk into a shop and buy it, and I would be happy with it. I think it's as good as any of others I've read. And I don't think writers and artists, they have the attitude enough. I think a lot of them, the full of self-doubt. And I always say, you've just got to love your own work, even if like nobody else does, to some respects, because if you don't love it, who else will?
Absolutely.
You have to be the first target audience.
Yes.
You are audience number one. If I think, I feel like these days, the more independent writers and artists I get to meet and correspond with through social media and whatnot, I feel like they don't have that attitude. That there's a lot of doubt. And say, my friend, love your work. You know, if you don't love it, and nobody else is going to,
exactly.
Be proud of it. You know,
yes. And
I'm certainly proud of this.
Be proud. I'm proud of your work, because like I know what it feels like to. I know exactly what you feel like. I'm even having. You know what's funny? As a writer, when you're at a loss for words, and you're like, but I know so many words. How am I at a loss for words? Yeah. And like, I'm just, I feel connected with you. I appreciate you. And what it is, I love you. I have a genuine love for you, brother to brother. I really do understand, writer to writer, you know, what you're going
very
through.
Kind. You're very kind.
Oh, man, I just, it's natural, man. So, you know, tell me something like, okay, so you got this crime mystery, you know, noir type story, like, you know, what kind of like power scaling are we talking here?
Now, you keep cutting out, so I'm going to make an assumption that you've asked me about the story. I think I heard the story in there somewhere, because the line's not the best at the minute. The story of Rain involves the Philip Rain, who's on the verge of training to be a police officer, and as he's on his way home to tell his except into the training academy, he walks through the door and he finds his. Say again.
No, I'm not even speaking. You keep stopping.
My line's not very good at the thing. It keeps cutting out.
Oh, I can hear you. You keep talking.
Okay. I'll keep going. Right. So he comes through the front door, and his father's standing there with a smoking gun, and his mother's lying on the bed dead, and his father has shot his mother in the head. And it's all very dramatic, and he runs out the door, Philip Rain, floods of tears, because his whole world's been ripped apart now, because it was always him and his mother and his father. They were really tight, they were really close, and now it's all been obliterated. And that single event throws him into living on the streets, and then he begins this journey through this fictitious network of cities called the Four Corners. So you've got the North, the South, the East, and the West Corner. They're all interlinked by this huge, sprawling network of organized crime, which he was involved in. And then it's this huge, this sand, all these ensemble characters from both sides of the law who have got all various motivations, and there's lots of criminal skullduggery going on. There's a lot of heartbreaking, quite tense emotion in it as well. A lot of loss, a lot of grief. It's quite dark, most definitely. But it also is littered with a lot of action sequences, which very much inspired by the movies of John Woo. So there's lots of dual wielding gunplay and
ooh,
epic shootouts, and I've very much tried to create a lot of action sequences inspired by I've watched and loved over the years. The one of my friends said he felt like he was reading the storyboard for an action movie when he watched. It's a long epic battle with lots of people.
Okay.
Crossed and betrayed.
You were kind of cutting out there for a second. So
yeah, it's lots of bullets. Lots of bullets fly in this book.
I'm not sure you can hear me. Can you hear me, Mr. Steven?
Yeah, you want to say again?
Oh yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, I was simply saying that you were describing the story as an action piece movie, as something you see on Netflix, a Mission Impossible type story. Is it possible to read a little bit about it, or where can we pick this up?
It's available on quite a few platforms now. So there are Kindle editions available. It's available on Comixology, the Comic House streaming app, which, by the way, is amazing. And anyone out there who reads comics needs to be on this app. It's like £3 a month, and you just get a limitless supply of independent comics. It's wonderful. It's like a Netflix for comics. It's amazing. It's on there. And there's the Drive-Thru Comics website as well. It is only a digital release at the minute, just because it seems to be a bit more of a demand for digital rather than paperback.
So yeah.
I've kept it that way at the moment, which is fine. But that does mean I can sell it at a much more affordable price, because we don't have to worry about printing costs. And it does look pretty slick on a digital screen as well, I have to say.
Mm.
There's lots of black and white, noirish chiaroscuro art. But it's also manga and anime influenced in the drawing style.
Yeah.
So when action scenes do kick into gear, it's very sensory and quite high energy, and it's
very dynamic.
Very, very dynamic. I've certainly tried to make it that way. I've allowed for breathing space. So there's a sequence in series two, which is Reign of the Burning Season, so very dramatic. And I've put a gun battle that becomes a car chase in there, and it's about 40 to 45 pages long, and it's quite epic and quite sensory. And it came from watching an awful lot of car chase movies over the years.
I believe it.
I'm trying to create something which as close to an action movie on the page as possible,
mm-hmm.
With the best of my artistic ability as it is.
Oh, perfect.
But yeah, you've got Kindle Comixology, Comic House, and Drive-Thru Comics. It's available. All series at a dirt cheap price as well. So please, I hope people go out there and pick it up. And I am on Facebook and on Twitter, and I'm always throwing art samples up on there for people to check out as well.
Okay, where can you go ahead and tell us those links that you have to your websites and to everything? Like, can you actually give us some of the names? I'm going to go ahead and add everything in the descriptions to this, so our listeners and readers and viewers and whatnot know exactly where to find you and know that you're not too far away. But could you go ahead and tell us all, you know, those handles real quick?
Yeah, the website envisioncomicsandbooks.weebly.com, and the Facebook page is at Envision Books. Twitter is EVC Books and Comics, and is Vision Comics and Books as well.
Hold on, you cut out at those parts a little bit, but everyone, I'm gonna let you know straight up, his links and everything will be in the description. So that way, if you didn't catch that, everyone, you will be able to get it in the description. If not, you can always message me directly, or you can message him directly on Facebook. I will be more than happy to put you guys in touch with him. Real quick, I want to let you guys know that Mr. Steven here is just a huge inspiration for myself. I myself create, you know, graphic novels and comic books and whatnot. I work with artists and I write, and I love hearing his inspirations from anime and mangas and movies and whatnot. I love the fact that people have inspired you and given you the strength to let you know that your story would be great as a Netflix movie or a blockbuster movie here all across the world. You know, I'm glad that you have that positive reinforcement you know, that's a very beautiful thing to have, especially in the writer community, to have like, you know, a certain group of friends that promote you and respect you and love you, you know? So, you know, with that being said, is there anything that you would like to, you know, any advice that you would love to give everyone, anything that you want us to know about yourself?
About me, I would just say that I love it. I love the writing, I love drawing, and I love reading. And that, for me, is just it's all about the journey. Everyone must love what they do, and I certainly love what I do. And I hope that readers will me for the writers will enjoy the books and comics that I've written as much. Mm-hmm. Love it, guys. Love it. That's the best advice I can give everybody.
Straight up. Honestly, love what you do. If you don't love what you're doing, then you need to switch what you're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? So with that being said, everybody, that's another installment of the Final X Legends podcast. This is a string billion-dollar writer right here. That's a billion-dollar artist right here. This is Mr. Steven, guys. I want to go ahead and put all of his information in the description, because I know that there was some little errors here and there within the audio. You guys may not have completely heard what he said, but I will make sure
that... That's because we're international.
Oh yeah, but
speaking to me in the UK, international connections and all that.
It be like that, but your message for the most part was heard. I want everybody to hear that. Everyone, I love you guys. I am personally going to be working with this author and this illustrator. So you know, if you guys, you better jump on the train soon, because this man going to take off and he's going to be too busy for the likes of all of us at some point. So if you guys need some good illustrations, this is the gentleman right here. I'll have all the links in the description. I love all you guys. You take care. You have a blessed and safe day. Bye.
Hey, Joshua. It's David Arrowsmith here over in London, England. Lockdown London, as I like to refer to it. Just loved hearing from Stephen McCumaskey there on the podcast. He's such a kindred spirit. It seems like such a nice guy. I've actually read one of his works. I'm a big fan, actually, of his novella, which he didn't talk about. He was talking about his comic books, but I loved his novella, The Carrion Sea. So I thought I'd just send you and the listeners a message and just say I'd really recommend that piece of work to anyone who loves an epic tale, sort of in the vein of Beowulf, or The Old Man and the Sea, or Zatoichi, or the films of Akira Kurosawa, really. It's a great book. So keep up the good work, Stephen. And you too, Joshua. Take care, everyone.